We got a vision from God for what we can do with God. Amen. With man, it seems impossible. With God, all things are possible. We thank the mayor for her vision. She's got a vision for this city, for this town, for Main Street. And when that vision becomes reality, this church will grow with that vision. Amen. And as this church grows, that vision for the mayor will grow. Amen. And when that grows, the city grows. And when the people see what Derby has done, other cities will want to have that, and they will do it with God. Amen. Other cities in the valley, other cities on the eastern side will say, we want what Derby has. And because we're following God, we have a vision for bigger and greater things. Amen. Give God praise. I told my beautiful bride on the way home last night, I said, you know, I can't believe that God has blessed me to be able to make a living with my guitar since I was 17. And my bride with her voice. We go out and Greg with his bass guitar, we make a living just playing music. And the blessing from God to be able to do that is unbelievable. People come to hear us play. And now they come to hear us play in God's house. And the music that we play inspires them to do more, to feel more. And this song is just everything that's in my spirit is how I feel. And I thank God for the music that I play. Whatever you do in your life, whatever job you're doing, thank God for that challenge. Thank God for the privilege, Sergio. Whatever it is you do it unto God, somebody will see and other people will say, I need him. Amen. You see God in what you're doing, it will change your focus. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Mind off of that. It releases that stress because you think are today. All those troubles that you had 10 years ago, where are they? All the things you worried about 10 years ago, where are they? They're gone. God said, walk with me. God said, talk with me. Don't look around. Talk with me. I'll walk you through all that. I'll raise you up. You'll be stronger with God, Sergio. You're never going to fail with God. Amen. With man, they don't understand. But you understand. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mr. Bush wanted this song today. We love Mark Bush. His wife Sandy and Dave's wife Cindy are downstairs getting things ready for the potluck. When we had our service at the archery club, Cindy and Sandy never stopped. They cooked the corn. Next year we talked and we said, Dave, next year we have another picnic there. We need to hire some people to come just to take care of the food and the soda and the cooking. Because they, from the moment they got to the club that day, they worked until they left, cleaning and cooking, and we all had such a great time. That's love. You see, they not even members of the church, and I hate to say that, remember, they always say, well, they're different denomination, but they come here and they do so much for us. Amen? Because that's love. That's God's love. Amen? There's no hyphenation in Christian. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Are you ready? Y'all ready, baby?
How great is God? How great is He? Hallelujah. This is where we ask Maestro to bring us into church. So take some time as Joanne plays a song to just let your mind just relieve all the things. Leave all the dirt outside. Leave all the problems outside. You're going to find them when you go back out there. So just leave them out there and let your spirit be cleansed and just enjoy God. Hallelujah.
Good morning, everybody. We ask you to stand with us, please, on this beautiful Sunday, September 25th. You made it to Sunday. Give it to God. Give it to God. It sounds hard, but just real easy. Just give Him your problems today. Let's pray like we always do each and every Sunday to our Father in heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. You're in your Father's house. Amen. And He loves you beyond your imagination. His love for you we cannot explain. So enjoy your day. Enjoy your time. And enjoy God. Amen. Can we read together the responsive readings this morning? We're going to go all the way back to Psalm number 1. Amen. Read with me. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now remember, David wrote this because he knew God. Amen. He wrote this because he loved God and he understood who God was. And when he wrote this from his heart, he wrote it for you and for me to understand and to believe like he believes. And you notice that one word in there, the word prosper. Don't ever think because you're a Christian, you're not supposed to prosper. Can I get an amen? God wants you to prosper because when you prosper, you can tell others about who? Hallelujah. And you can give testimony about who? Hallelujah. That's a good thing. Amen? Hallelujah. In your bulletin today, you're going to notice from the pastor's desk, and I put it in because we talked about it last week, and it's so important. It may be something that changes your life. The 30-second prayer. I want you to see that Marilyn put it right on that one page. We put it in there again. The 30-second prayer. That time when you're alone with God. Not when you're with friends. Not when you're at church. Not when you're alone with God. When the noise is away and it's you and God. That 30-second prayer. Sometimes you just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Sometimes no words. No words are necessary. Can you believe that? You can pray without any words because God knows what's in your heart. Can I get an amen? The quiet and alone and calm. You remove the outside noise. But those 30-second prayers, you think, well, you just smile, well, it doesn't sound like much. But again, look what it does. Look what it does. Look what it tells God. It tells God that you trust Him. Amen? And it tells God that you invite Him in. You invite Him into your heart and into your needs. Hallelujah. And it shows faith. When you do anything according to faith, God asks. Acts. Can I get an amen? And we talked about church and how important it is to come to church. It's important for you and it's important for your brothers and sisters because you come to church that day and you hear that one word that changes your life. We call it the I get it day. You come to church and you hear one thing that you say, I get it. And when you get that, and when you see that, and you believe that, then guess what? You want more. You want more of God. Amen? You don't want more of church. You don't want more of anybody. You want more of God. Amen? When you get it, I get it day, you want to know more. Because God is showing you, I am with you. Amen? And God is showing you, I know what your needs are. And I know your prayers. And you come to church every Sunday to hear the Word of God. Because you're not going to hear the Word of God on television. Amen? You know, I know they got the Christian Christian people, but that's not the same thing as coming to church, amen? That's telling God, well, I'll sit on my couch, drink a coffee, and I'll get my God. No, that's that God said fellowship with one another. That's how we lift each other up, amen? But when you go out and you go to work, you're not going to hear the word of God. And let me just say how, I know that some folks said maybe I should dress a little different and wear something different to distinguish myself. And I said, well, Jesus didn't wear anything to distinguish himself. Jesus was love. They didn't look at what he wore. The Bible never talked about what he wore because it wasn't important. Amen? And we went to a market. He sells organic food. And I went in there to get some tomatoes and cucumbers. And I went in. I never met the man before. I was dressed like I normally am dressed. And in 10 minutes of talking to him, all of a sudden, the vile language, the words that he used, I was taken back. He didn't know I was a pastor. He didn't know. If I went in there with a collar on, I guarantee you, he would not have talked the way he talked to me. Amen? I want to be normal. Amen? I don't want to be above anybody. But I want you to know that it's important that you see me as your pastor, as your teacher, but also to understand. I went in there, Jim, and I'm talking to the guy, and we're having a conversation about it. And all of a sudden, these words kept coming out, and I'm saying, why? What, has the world gotten to that point where everything goes and we're so insensitive about you? He didn't even know me and know what I did and know what we do, amen? But it just made me think, wow, but if I went in there with a robe on, he would have never talked to me like that. Hallelujah. But I think I want you to see above me when I'm preaching to you. I think I want you to see above me when I read the word of God. I want you to see above me. I want it to change your life, not because your pastor said so, but because God got in your spirit. Amen. So when you come to church and you're seeing above me and I say something and you get that I get it day, Dale, it never goes away. It never goes away. You keep going back to that I get it day because you want more of them. Amen. And when you start doing these 30-second prayers, Lisa, when you start praying for 30 seconds alone, when Fran goes to work, all of a sudden it'll turn into a minute. Then it'll turn into 5 minutes. And then you're driving and you find yourself saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You're inviting God into everything you're doing. And guess what? That's changing your spirit. Amen. And then you'll find yourself, you can't talk like you used to. You can't say words like you used to. You can't get angry like you used to. And when people come against you, you don't attack them, you love them, amen? You raise up those who come against you. I know it's the opposite, amen? But when you walk like that, and when you feel that it's spirit inside of you, you lift up those who come against you, amen? You prove them wrong. When people attack you and you lift them up, you prove them wrong. They can't fight with you when you lift them up, amen? When you love one another. And that's what we do in this church. We need each other, amen? We need each other if we see the vision of this city doing what we're talking about. We need each other to build this up. We need the mayor to be on our side, on God's side, amen? Sorry, mayor. We need the vision. You need to see it. And one other thing we need to do, and I'll talk about this next week. See, that's why you don't want to miss next week. We'll talk about fasting next week. Sergio, it's not a big thing. There's not an ordeal with fasting. It's between you and God. If the devil gets in your head and says you're doing it wrong, you call him a liar because you're doing it with God. If you say, I'm not going to eat anything from noon till 8 o'clock at night, that is your fast. And as you're fasting, you start praying because the combination of those two, amen, become more powerful. The Word of God says so. Sometimes it takes fasting and praying, amen. But people get confused and think they have to stop eating for 3 days. And that's not what God said. It's not at all what God said. And some people fast and tell the whole world, oh, I can't talk to you today. I'm fasting. Oh, I can't. I'm fasting. So what? That's not you and God. You've made it you and everybody else. Amen? But, oh, God is so beautiful. The visions that we have, the prayers that we have, are so real, amen, and God is waiting to answer them. You got to be patient sometimes, but it's that knowing that God is with you, knowing that he's there with you. The only way that you can know that he's there with you is for you to let him in. With 30-second prayers, with some fasting, with some believing, and coming to church every week and seeing your family grow. Coming to church every week and having somebody help you who you didn't know before. Somebody help you that you didn't know was could help you. That's coming to church, building a family up, making it shine brighter and brighter, so that till the people outside have to look and say, something's going on in there. I want to know what it is. And then they come on the green and they look and say, something's going on, letting they enter. And then they bring other friends from anywhere. They bring them in so that we grow as a family and the light starts to shine brighter. Amen? And the vision of the church shines brighter. And when that vision shines brighter, that means God is shining brighter. Amen? Good things are happening. And listen, if good things are happening, they're happening to you too. Amen? So if people come in and receive blessings, you're receiving the same blessings. Amen? And then when the city starts to shine, Shelton's going to say, I need to do whatever's going on over there. And Ansoni's going to see. And then all of a sudden, Hartford's going to say, something's going on over there. And they're turning to God. They're turning to God more and more. And it's changing their lives. It's changing people's lives. Amen. It's making people healthy, making people safer, making people calmer, quieter. Amen. Love, compassion. People see that. Trust me. They see it when you give it to them. They're not used to it. We need to show more of that. Amen. If we're not bright enough, the world's not going to see it. This is our time. Our time with God. Say that with me. This is our time with God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you do, Lord. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your Son. As we walk with you, as we become more like Christ-like, we change. We change. And as we change, those around us have to change. And when they change, those around them will change. Their words will change. Their attitudes will change. Their faith will change. And it's not about a religion or a denomination. It's about Jesus. It's about how much we love him and how much we let him into our lives. It's not how big the church is. It's about how bright the light shines for his Son. The simplicity that is Christ. We don't make man's regulations here. We just talk about God. We don't make new rules. We just follow God. We follow his word. It changes our lives. Every day, it changes our lives. It gives us hope for tomorrow. It gives us visions for tomorrow. It gives us comfort for tomorrow. It brings us a new family in Christ. So, Lord, I pray that we see you more today than we ever saw you. I pray that those here today who think they know the word, and they do, and that they love you, and I know they do, Lord, that they realize that it's just beginning. No matter where they were this morning, it's just beginning today to be stronger. That there's more to know, more to love, more to see, more visions to see, more prayers to ask for greater things. We're asking the great of greater to answer these prayers. We're asking the greatest I am, the impossible. We're coming to God exactly the way he wants us to, asking for the impossible so that God can prove his word to his children. Give it to God in Jesus' name. How many would say they're a Christian? Amen. What is a Christian? Where did it come from? Well, in Greek, the word Christ is Christos. Christos in Greek. And the word in it's Christianos. Jesus Christianos. That would be, and it's Christ. Let me explain that to you and then we can go on. Hallelujah. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose after Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists. Now the Hellenists, brothers and sisters, there's another one. What are they? They were non-Greeks who spoke, they were Jews who spoke Greek, amen? In the Bible, Jews who spoke Greek and lived somewhat according to the Greek ways. Many became Christians, amen? So they were Jews and they were living in Greece and they spoke Greece and they called themselves Hellenists. They weren't separated, they were just a little different, amen? You know, there's many different people, amen? And that's who they were, the Hellenists. And they were preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Hallelujah, there's victory. The news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. And where? Understand, that's the holy city. And they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and he had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed from Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year, how long? They assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now understand the word Christian back in those days, it wasn't complimentary. It wasn't, when they called people Christians, it wasn't being nice to them. It, in a sense, it was sort of mocking them. Say, how many know you're a Jesus lover? You're a Jesus fanatic? You're a born, or you're one of them people? Anybody ever hear that? You're one of them people? Well, guess what? I'm one of them people. Anybody else beside me one of them people? It became a badge of honor. But see, that's where it came from, to be called a Christian. Hallelujah. Now, if we're Christians and God is our Father, amen, then we're part of the family of God, amen. We're part of His kingdom, amen. Amen. A citizen. Say that with me. A citizen. What is a citizen? It's a native or naturalized member of a state or nation who owes allegiance to its government and is entitled to its protection. There's a lot of talk about citizenship today, amen, in the world. A lot of talk about who can be and who should be and who can we be. I mean, there's a lot of talk about that. But this is what a citizen is, who owes allegiance to his government and is entitled to its protection. We are citizens in his kingdom, amen. We are his children, amen. We're going to get back to that, but understand that that's what citizen, hallelujah. I am a Christian. You're a Christian. Is there any color in Christian? Is there any hyphenation in Christian? Nationality? Race? None. Amen. We are Christians. We are citizens of His kingdom. Amen. I am a part of the family of God. A citizen in the family of God. No hyphenations, no race, no nationality. We belong to Christ. Who do we belong to? We must therefore follow who? His teachings, His ways. And I say to stay under His wings in a place to receive blessings, to share blessings, to heal, to build up, to be strong. We must trust and live unto Jesus. It must become your badge of honor. Amen? Amen? We, who? Set the example. The lost look for the light. Amen? The lost look for, Lisa, who? The light. And who's the light? You are. To victory, to God. By the example we set, we show the world a better way. Amen? Not just for some, but for who? Oh, and God says He shows no partiality. The Bible says that. So if we're Christians, and we're citizens, and part of the family, there's no hyphenation, no need for it anymore, amen? Who puts that in? The world does. And why does the world do that? To separate and divide. And let me tell you about Satan. Let me tell you Satan. He yearns for your anger. How many know that? He yearns for you to be upset. He yearns for vengeance. Can I get an amen? Satan yearns for vengeance. To tear you apart. destroy who you are. Satan wants you to destroy, Elaine, who you are. He wants you to fall apart so the world can say, she's a Christian and look at her. That's what he wants, amen? He wants us to fall apart. He wants us to lose the victory. But we have a better way, amen? Say amen with me. We have a better way. Now, I am a pastor. Say that with me. I am going to be a pastor tomorrow, and I'm going to be a pastor until the day I meet Jesus face to face. Amen. I am, and I always have to teach you one way. Amen. I have to show you God's way. Amen. I have to tell you the truth. Amen. I am going to be a I cannot promise you something today and then promise you something next week and the week after. I have to promise you His word. Amen. And that's what I am, and that's who I am, because God has called me, and I thank God for that, even though the responsibilities are many. My heart is just in awe and just a feeling of knowing that folks call me pastor and that I preach the word of God and I heal them. Amen. I heal them not with me, not with my hands, but with what? His word. Hallelujah. That's exactly right, Lisa. I have to tell you the truth. I cannot. And I see it. I see people with the word reverend, and I say, you're a reverend. You're always going to be a reverend. Are you a reverend first? Are you hyphenated first? I see people call themselves whatever they call themselves. And I say, okay, that's good. That's what we need. But then I go to the book of Romans, and this is what I read as your pastor. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Amen? Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Serving who? Now listen, are you Christians? Then you need to rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. In what? Distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Now here you go, brothers and sisters. I am your pastor. Amen. The message that I give you today, I will give you always. I have to give you His word. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Let me read again. That's 12:14 in Romans, Nelly. Bless. Say that with me. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Amen. 12:17 says this, brothers and sisters. And in every church and in every city, I pray that these words are preached more and more. Repay no one evil for evil. You seeing that in the world today? I don't see that being preached. I don't see people saying that to one another. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for the good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Do not, say that, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. Now, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to give place to wrath? Because who owns the wrath? Satan owns the wrath. And what does wrath do? It destroys. So the Bible is telling us, give no place to wrath. Amen. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And then it says this, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. That means that you will prove them liars who come against you. If you do that, you will prove them liars. They cannot have anything against you if you do that. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Hallelujah. And I hear the word injustice in the world a lot. Injustice. Elaine, let me tell you, somebody who faced injustice. He was mocked. He was beaten. His body was torn. He was hung on a tree. He was spit at. And all he did was come here to save the sick. All he did was come here to love one another. All he did was come here to remove the bondage of the Ten Commandments and give us mercy and give us grace so that we can live with these. Amen? So that we can understand these. He came for salvation and he faced injustice. And he told us, your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. He said, vengeance is mine. And God said, who says? Not your pastor, but God. I will repay, says the Lord. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Why are we not hearing this today? I know that there's anger, but that anger is from God. It angers from Satan. Amen. God will lift us over that together. And it says something else, and I know that it sounds, I got to give you the truth. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. Except from who? And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Injustice. Jesus faced it. Amen. Beaten, mocked, torn, hung on a tree. Injustice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We are Christians. We must rise above. Amen. We must become the light that shines. We must tell more people about the light that shines. If this light is going to shine brighter, it's going to shine brighter with God. Amen. It's not going to shine brighter with anger. It's not going to shine brighter with confusion. It's going to shine brighter with who? As we come together. We are citizens, amen, of the family of God. You are children in the family of who? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We must therefore follow Christ, his teachings, and his ways. Thank you, Jesus. You all got quiet. It's all good. Amen. Amen. Let me read it again. We set the example. We, who? Set that example. The lost looking for the light. There's a lot of lost looking for lights. That light must lead them to a better life, to victory, to God. By the example, we said, who sets it? We show the world a better way, amen? Second Congregational, by the example that you set, you show Derby a better way, amen? You show them what a Christian is. You show them that love, that compassion. You show them that. You show them God, amen? They will see. God will let that light shine. We are the light to victory. By that example we set, we show the world a better way, not just for some, not just for some, but for who? Hallelujah. Loving God is the easy part. The singing and the clapping, that's the easy part. Living for God, not quite so easy. But with God, all things are possible. Mayor, with God, your vision for this town is beyond possible. If nobody else sits at that table with you at those meetings and believes, you believe, and God will perform for you. He will show for you the truth of his word. You have that vision. You build that vision. Don't let anybody who comes against you deter you from the vision that you have. You see it and you follow it, and you let God be your wind and your sail, and you will see things that the rest of the cities won't understand. Amen. This is a great town. There's so much people here ready. There's gold in this town. There's people lost in this town. We can do great things in this town because it's ready. People are hungry. They're searching. Amen, Sergio. They're searching where you're working. Jim, they're searching with your friends. Marty, they're searching where you're working in Shell. They're hungry. You got to let the light shine. Don't be afraid to tell people about who. Hallelujah. Give them praise, church. Citizenship is so in your heart to be a citizen, to be a member, to belong to everybody, to be together as a unit. Like, it's no hyphenation as a Christian. Amen. It doesn't matter what race and national origin. But let me tell you about citizenship. You might not know. How many of you remember Paul in the Bible? Amen. Now, you know that Paul was preaching the word of God. And you know it was against the Roman Empire to preach the word of God. Amen. And they took Paul and they took Barnabas and they put him in jail and they were going to scourge him. The Roman Empire had Paul and they were ready to beat him for what? Preaching who? Jesus. Amen. And they were bringing him down. And Paul looked at the guards and he said, Dale, you're going to scourge me? And he said, yes. He said, You're going to scourge a Roman citizen? You might not know, but Paul was a Roman citizen. He had citizenship in Rome. Amen? He was part of that. And the second that the guard, I get goosebumps, the second that the guard realized that Paul was a Roman citizen, he was afraid for his own life. He was afraid. So what did we do? We're not supposed to do to him what we were going to do because he was a Roman citizen, born a Roman citizen, didn't do any Hebrew, he was born that way. You see how important that citizenship was. Amen. It saved his life right there. But people, I don't know if you read about it, but the more you read and see that, I can see him getting, all of a sudden, everything changed. Here he is in jail, in Philippi's in jail, in the dungeon, and they're going to scourge him, they're going to beat him, and they're ready, and he said, would you do that to a Roman citizen? And they had to stop, and they had to bring him to higher council, amen? That's the importance of citizenship. And you are a citizen in the family of God. You are a Christian, amen? You have rights with God. He has your back. He will protect you. He will lift you. When you're at a job and you don't think anything's going anywhere, give it to God. He will lift you. When you're facing trouble, give it to God. He will lift you because you're a citizen, amen? You're part of His family. Give Him praise, church.